and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. And thank you for bearing with us yesterday after that stormy day. Had our phones a little chopped up, so we appreciate you taking the time and still listening to the show if you were with us. If not, no worries. We got it situated today. We should have a pretty good connection. We got Dad on here with a great connection. How are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I just had a, you know, great day so far today. Just had a great workout. I just did about 50 squats in a row and, you know, in one set. And so my heart rate's finally come down and I'm slowing down on the perspiration right now. And I learned something. I need to go ahead and do that after the show or an hour or so before the show and not right before we go on the air. Because I was huffing and puffing and saying, gosh, this is awful. That I walked out of the gym. We have a little gym here at the house. I walked out of the gym. It's in the backyard by the barn. I walked out of the barn and I got hit in the bucket, hit in the face like with a bucket of hot water, and I was already breathing heavy and I went, oh, this is just awful. It's just awful. I'd rather have storms, at least if they don't knock the power off. But it was interesting today. It's another one of those scorchers down here. I got an interesting thing. We had one of our listeners send us an email yesterday or today and said that basically that the California lawyer delivered a Sith prayer at the GOP convention. And, you know, and what that is, that's an offshoot of Hinduism, in which they believe in one God who made a whole bunch of other gods. And it's just another one of these really strange religions that's not Christian. And I thought it was very odd that the GOP did this. I mean, it's spelled S-I-K-H, and it's crazy. It's basically, it was Harmeet Dhillon, D-H-I-L-L-O-N. She basically delivered this Sith prayer, and rivals were afraid that she was going to slaughter a goat at the lectern. And so I find it odd that the Republicans have stepped that far away from Christianity, and they bring a person in there who's basically, as far as Christians are concerned, you know, not saved, that they would be basically put in the position of praying for the entire RNC last night. And so I want to thank the listener who wrote this in and told us about this, and I looked it up, and sure enough, she was absolutely right. She also said that that there people were making goat horn signs with a few of the people, and I didn't see that. I couldn't find that online, and I don't doubt that at all either. But guys, it's some weird stuff going on, and it was. And finally, last night I tried to watch it last night, and I listened to Donald Trump Jr. his speech, and that dude's got some political ambitions. He was a phenomenal speaker. He was the best speaker of the night, Austin. Donald Trump Jr. He's a better speaker than his dad is. And he was the best speaker there last night. He was succinct. He was to the point. He started talking about how his daddy taught him to pour concrete and to build buildings and put developments together, and that he was the only child of a billionaire that he knew of that could run a D10 Caterpillar. Now, for those of you who don't know what a D10 Caterpillar is, these are huge, huge, huge tractors that can push tons and tons and tons of weight. They have like blades that can be up to 30 or 40 feet across. These are monstrous, monstrous equipment, and he can actually drive one of those apparently. So I thought that was pretty interesting that he actually has those types of skill sets, though I wouldn't want him around my house with one. Those are going to push right through a house. But it was really kind of interesting last night. He did a really good job. Every one of the Trump kids just impressed the yak out of me, having four children and really realizing how difficult it is to raise good kids. It's just amazing to me that his kids have turned out so well. I used to think, Austin, when you were young, that, you know, I was a pretty good dad and could figure this out pretty good. Then we had three more kids, so there were four of you guys. And then you hit puberty, and all the knowledge that I thought I had went out the window, and I thought, wow, I guess maybe I don't know as much about raising kids as I thought. And so now I'm at the point after raising four kids and having two of them, and well, both of them started pre-college, you know, young, you and Harrison both, and having two more, I'm like, well, you know, it's kind of by the grace of God and God alone that kids get through childhood, and the parents kind of just kind of maneuver them the best way they possibly can. But the ultimate decision rests with the children and with these kids as to what they're going to become. And with Donald Trump, when he has kids like this, it says an awful lot about his character, Austin. It really, really does. And I know the guy's been married three times. All right, don't get on a big parade. I guarantee you, a bunch of people listen to me right and have been married once or twice or three or four times. It doesn't make any difference. You know, as long as you repented, if you've sinned in a prior relationship or in a prior marriage and you ask God to forgive you, grace is there for all of us. I'm not saying that that's his best in his life, because it certainly isn't, but it's always there. Grace is sufficient for thee is what the word says. And we have become the righteousness of Christ through Jesus and through his resurrection and through his death, burial, and resurrection. And now he sitteth at the right hand of God Almighty, and he provides this constant sanctification for us. And we've talked about that multiple times on the show. So yes, I have no idea why they would bring a non-Christian up to do the prayer. Austin, any comments on that?
No, not on just that, but I mean, from what I saw today, I mean, it's completely official. Trump is the Republican nominee. That's it. There's no question about it. No bars on it. That's what it is now.
Well, Roger Stone has done a lot. Now, I'm going to give Roger Stone credit where credit's due. His books, like Clinton's War on Women, has received no traction and stuff like through Alex Jones or maybe through Drudge. And what's interesting about this is my hands off, my hat's off, everything's off to Alex Jones and Roger Stone. And to Dave Hodges, you know, and to Joyce, and to the alternative media, because we're the only ones out there telling the truth. Glenn Beck has gone over to the dark side now. He's saying vote third party, which is basically a vote for Hillary. I can't even believe he's saying that. And that he didn't come out and say that, but that's what he implied. And I mean, it's ridiculous. He says, vote your conscience, and if you can't vote for either of these horrible candidates, you go ahead and vote third party. Vote for the Green Party. You vote for the Libertarian Party. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? He's so angry. He's having he actually has a wet diaper, and he's having a little hissy fit contest because his nominee that he said was anointed by God to be there, Ted Cruz, isn't going to be the nominee. So he's just angry. He's an angry, angry man. All those diet sodas have probably caused some type of brain damage to the man. I feel sorry for him. I feel sorry for his wife. I feel sorry for his listeners because he is just tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And of course, you know, he's not a born again evangelical Christian. We already know that. So the truth is this. Who are you going to listen to? Okay. Trump is actually bringing this thing together. He's galvanizing this thing. And quite frankly, a lot of the speeches last night were against the Wicked Witch of Washington, which they needed to be, because I promise you, Hillary is going to just ridiculously level an unbelievable counterpunch to Trump about this. I mean, what they've already done with Melania and this silly speech that she supposedly plagiarized was ridiculous. This lady speaks five languages fluently. Five languages. Five. She's probably the smartest first lady that's ever been in the White House. And so for them to give her a cheap shot like this was just to discredit her to try to elevate Hillary. I remember Jim Rome, my good friend, may he rest in peace, who taught me so much over the years. He basically said one time, he said, look, Ted, there's two ways you can have the tallest building in town. One way is you can tear down all the other buildings. And the second way is you can build your own building one brick at a time. And Hillary, all she wants to do is tear down all the other buildings because she doesn't want everybody to look at her record and what she's done. So, guys, I'm very pleased with how the Republican convention is going so far. It's been an interesting week so far with it. Only thing I wouldn't do, and as of yesterday, unless they've changed it, I don't know about it. Ted Cruz is doing a speech tonight before the Donald, and I believe that Ted Cruz is not vetted. His speech has not been approved by the Republican National Committee, and the only other time that's ever happened, I believe, is when Clint Eastwood got up there four years ago, started talking to a chair, which was a bit odd. And so I really believe that, you know, this is a mistake that he's being set up there, because I don't trust Ted Cruz, Austin. I mean, I don't trust this guy as far as you could throw him. The Bushes have completely boycotted this entire event. You know, we don't have Romney there. We don't have the Bushes there. I mean, I didn't even see Bubble Boy there. Now, Bubble Boy may be there, but I don't know if he's there or not. But the reality is that we don't know what they have up their sleeve still as far as discrediting this, you know, this domination. Now, what's nutty about this, remember, I'm going to say this again. I'm going to go back again. Prescott Bush, George H.'s father, tried to do a coup against the United States government in 1933. He brought former general, Congressional Medal of Honor winner, the most decorated veteran of World War I, General Smedley Butler, he brought him on to lead the military against a coup against Franklin Delano Roosevelt in 1933 to install a fascist government. Look it up. I'm not making it up. This is the year the United States went bankrupt because of what happened with the Federal Reserve 20 years earlier. And then the following year, the Exchange Stability Fund started. And that's when the shadow government took over with the finances in the United States when they seized the gold. Prescott Bush, the coup was not successful. Smedley Butler went before Congress and testified to what had happened and what they tried to involve him in. But Bush basically skated on that. Then in the 40s, he was basically Hitler's banker, and he was trading with the enemies, providing funds for Hitler, and had his bank shut down in New York City because he was doing that. This fascist the government they wanted to bring into the United States was by Prescott Bush, and probably, who knows, orchestrated by what satanic faction, who knows, because of Bohemian Grove and these guys going there and being Skull and Bones boys. Now, the Bushes then, I personally believe, and a lot of other people believe, that H, if you watch the video from 9/11, from the JFK to 9/11, it's a rich man's trick. Everybody's watching it. It's 4 hours, take a couple of days and just watch it, or 3 or 4 days, watch an hour a day, whatever you fit into your schedule. From JFK to 9/11, it's a rich man's trick. It specifically implicates, and other historians and authors have also implicated, both Lyndon Baines Johnson and Herbert Walker Bush in the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Now, jump forward again, then Bush gets into the White House. He gets forced on Reagan as the vice president. Within 30 days in office, there's an assassination attempt on Bush, on Reagan. Bush takes over the White House as a surrogate because Reagan's been kept basically drugged up for the rest of the 8 years, and then for the following 4 years. The Bushes and the Clintons and the Obamas, all of these guys are tied together with this fascism. They're all together in it. That's why we've had the same type of government now since 1980 all the way through. So we're looking at 10, 20, 30, 36 years it's been going on. That's why we've moved to this mess with this police state that we're in. Now, the Bushes have lost a lot of power with the Republican National Committee because everybody's starting to figure out we don't want what they have. And so they're now boycotting the convention last night. So it's a good thing. So if Trump is actually doing this and forcing this Nazi faction out, I'm happy about it. This Bohemian Grove faction. Trump is not a member of a secret society. He has not been out there sacrificing human beings at effigy of Bohemian Grove and marching around the Great Owl doing their little chants. He hasn't done any of that nonsense. So it's like Newt Gingrich said, he's not a member of the secret society club. So guys, keep praying that he's safe. Keep praying that he continues to persevere. And I know he's going to do a great job on the speech. So guys, we've got to stay unified in all of this, and we've got to realize this is a battle, we've got to fight it, and we've got to make sure that Roger Stone knows about the election fraud and the voting machine fraud. And I'm going to go ahead and send some emails to some friends who know all these guys tonight to make sure they are aware of this. But I got a feeling that Roger Stone is on point with all of it, Austin. What do you think?
I am, too. From what I've heard and what he's produced, I'm pretty sure he's really, he's definitely on as far as where it needs to be. This is interesting now. The Ohio sheriff is urging his civilian staff members to actually be allowing them to carry concealed weapons if they have their CCW permits to work and any other activities related to the sheriff's department. He basically said that he wants them to exercise extreme caution and personal safety. And this kind of falls on the heels of yesterday where, I mean, we're starting to see this become a serious epidemic. Yesterday, Kansas police captain was shot in Kansas City, Kansas, and killed. He was responding to a drive-by shooting call, and apparently when he was in the area looking for the suspects and going to the house, they pulled up beside him on the driver's side and shot him repeatedly through the window and through the door. This is going to be the 18th officer killed this month, and today is only the 20th of July. That's some pretty rough numbers, guys. And I know a lot of these people are all sitting here saying, you know, oh, we're shooting the cops because this and that. Guys, these guys aren't involved in any of this stuff. A lot of these cops are just hardworking men and women trying to do their job. They're not involved in any of the shenanigans that we see on some of these videos. I mean, why is it that they keep going after innocent police officers that have nothing to do with any of this? I mean, I'm not advocating violence in any means, but if they're sitting there blaming the officers that shot these individuals that they're so distraught about, I mean, that's not even really understandable, but it has some type of logic behind it. But going around and executing random innocent officers has no purpose whatsoever. So I want you guys to pray for that family over there in Kansas. They've lost another one now, but more and more sheriff's departments are realizing that this is not a joke anymore, that people are targeting these guys with great prejudice, and they need to be very, very much on the lookout and staying frosty, so to speak, with everything that's around them, because this is apparently not a joke to some of these crazed terrorists that are, you know, in the BLM and other people that are representing this. They're domestic terrorists, and these are hate crimes, and this is exactly what they're doing. So they need to keep an eye out on it and watch their back and their fellow friends. So I wanted to bring that up today, too. Also, the U.S. now just had one of the worst civilian mistakes they have done in a while. The U.S. airstrike this week killed more than 85 civilians, including children as young as 3 in Syria on Tuesday, after the coalition mistook them for Islamic state fighters. Some eight families were hit as they tried to flee the fighting in their area in one of the single deadliest strikes on civilians at the start of the operation in the war-torn country. So, yeah, that's what we're doing over there. We're dropping bombs on 85 civilians because we thought they were ISIS members. I don't know. I'm not really even understanding why we still continue to go over there except to overthrow Syria. It's sad, though. I mean, that's sad. 85 people for no reason at all. But you haven't even heard about this on the media at all. Nowhere. Nothing about it at all. I found another underground site. And it's sad when we start seeing stuff like this. So, yeah, Dad. I mean, what do you think? I mean, this stuff over there, do you think this is an accident? You think they're intentionally doing this? Or do you think it's just they're just that reckless with what they're doing now in that country trying to destabilize it?
Well, I don't know what that individual pilot was doing. But I will say this. Shock and awe, or whatever you want to call it, shock therapy has been used as a psychological terror method for generations now. They wanted, it was actually an experiment through Tavistock when they dropped the bombs on Dresden and strafed 500,000 and killed 500,000 people in one night. There were women and children. It's 500,000. Now, this isn't 80, it's 500,000, 500,000. In fact, a lot of the videos that you watch that are supposedly concentration camps are not really concentration camp videos and then pushing huge piles of dead bodies. That's primarily out of Dresden at the end of the war and out of Berlin. And what happened is all of these people were dying just in the hundreds of thousands, and they had no way to move the bodies except by giant caterpillars, like we talked about earlier, the giant pushing birth moving machines and big huge ditches and mass graves. They've been doing that. Winston Churchill wanted to do that with Tavistock in 1945 to Dresden, just to see if it could permanently damage the mental psyche of Germany and destroy the will. Now, the will already been destroyed because the country already had known that the war was over. It was like in February of 45. And in the evening of 45, they came in like 1 o'clock in the morning with concussion bombs and blew all the roofs off all of the houses and all the whole city of Dresden. And then about an hour and a half later, the second wave came in running incendiaries, and they dropped incendiary bombs. Remember, these are all women and children that had fled Berlin to Dresden to get away. Now, the biggest reason we didn't know about all of this, and it really wasn't in the media very much, was because these were our allies doing this and us doing it, so we didn't want to talk about it in the media. Secondly, Dresden then became part of the Iron Curtain, behind the Iron Curtain. And so all of this damage there was left, and so they didn't really talk about it because it was in Russia, the Soviet Union. And then finally, after all the women and children were basically incinerated that were inside the cities because of the heat from the incendiaries, the ones who could get out, who didn't melt into the asphalt and die with their babies and their children, ran to the river trying to get away from the flames. And that's when the P-51 Mustangs and the British aircraft came in, and they strafed them with 50 caliber machine gun fire. You go, well, Ted, why do you tell us this stuff? Because this is just history, guys. And this is the psychological damage that's being done right now in Syria. Because what's going on in Syria refused to allow Qatar to run a gas pipeline through Syria because they were allies with Russia. And they refused to do it. And so our CIA went in and staged a coup in a civil war to get rid of Assad. That's the only reason this is happening. In fact, if you read right here, this is the international banking community, the mafia, the Rothschild mafia, if you want to call them that. But the Rothschild mafia and its agents want to clear out Iran and Syria so they can run pipelines for crude oil and natural gas to Europe instead of Russia. And they're doing everything they can to provoke Russia in the World War III with America, because they believe that they will be left completely controlling the Middle East. But Putin and the Russian Federation have been too crafty and well-informed to fall into the trap, which would pit the Russian Federation against America in one big disposal op to get rid of both. But Putin completely checkmated the international banking community's try last year in the Middle East by fully exposing that the CIA, that they fully exposed it as a CIA, Mossad, Turkish, and Saudi covert operation based on massive crimes of humanity, which is this war in Syria. And all over the world, we now have newly emerging, growing, and quite powerful boycott against Israel, the Mossad, and these other nations. This has freaked out these bankers. And they've decided to use ISIS to completely destabilize the Middle East and Syria. Because remember, these guys run the United States government through the CIA. And then they use the globalist cutouts like George Soros to funnel money to pay to transport these displaced folks from the Middle East to Africa to Europe. And it's just all a bunch of mind control is what it is. And now they've tried this mass rapist strategy into Europe. And the plan basically involves using the Blackwater-type mercenaries that are run by the CIA and Mossad to set off large terrorist bombings in public arenas and facilities to be completely but convincingly blamed on ISIS and other radical Islamists. They want a third world war pitting the Zionists and the Americans against the Muslims. That's what they want. They want to have that third world war that Albert Pike wrote about. That's the goal here. And see, the thing about it is that we're all aware of this now because of the internet and all the research that's been taking place. In fact, right now in Russia, the Moscow residents are buying matches and salt as fears of a new NATO conflict accelerate. Russian citizens across the country are stocking up on essential supplies like salt, matches, and buckwheat in preparation for war, according to an expert who recently visited the region. Jill Dowdy, who served as CNN's foreign affairs correspondent for three decades, reveals how Russians are paranoid about a major imminent conflict in an article for the Wilson Center. She, you know, this is exactly what's going on, and she's absolutely right. Our country, because it's been taken over by this mafia, by this organized crime syndicate, it basically is having its military used to dispose of other countries who the mafia doesn't like. Now, that's just the bottom line of all this. Now, whether or not Trump's going to be able to fix all of this, I have no idea. But this is a mess. This is a really big mess. And when our military started kicking back after Benghazi, Obama had the big purge to get rid of the top military brass that weren't going to go along with this disgusting stuff anymore, including guarding the poppy fields of Afghanistan, which over 95% of the world's heroin comes in to the globe, and over $1 trillion is imported into the United States every year. This is the big, nasty secret that nobody wants to talk about, is that money that helps to fund the shadow government, including the chemtrails and all the other junk they do to all of us. So, guys, we've got to really pray and stand in faith and firm in the values that we know as Christians, and we've got to realize that, hey, look, all of us need to be praying that that Donald Trump gets in, because Clinton is a stooge, she's a puppet of this Khazarian mafia, this Rothschild-controlled mafia, this banker-controlled mafia. That's what she is. And she's part of this whole package. That's why she funneled billions of dollars into her nonprofit and had all these servers set up as a Dropbox. I mean, this whole thing is so corrupt. It's unbelievable. And that one agent from the FBI said this thing would take down Washington if it all came out what she did. So one thing I want to mention about this article real quick, and I didn't say this to you yesterday, you've got to store salt. That's super important. Most people and most preppers don't store salt. You know, we have a bunch of salt stored here at my house because salt, without salt, if you have a prolonged period without salt, you're going to die. It's one of those nutrients your body absolutely has to have. You have to have it to make your heart pump. Now, most people get too much salt because they're eating too many processed foods, but that's one thing that you can store, and you can just take the salt, stick it, and we have bigger, if you want bigger bags of salt, we can get you bigger bags. Well, you can just store it up in your attic and be done with it. You don't have to think about it. It'll never go bad. This is not a 20-year shelf life. This is a eternity shelf life. Okay, it's not going to go bad. Just put it someplace in the attic where it's going to stay warm and dry, and you're going to be fine with it. And it's very, very inexpensive. But guys, just make sure you stock up on some salt. That's really, really important. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, definitely the salt. This is interesting now, too. The California Obamacare rates are now raising even higher, more than three times the increase over the last 2 years. Premiums in California rise over an average of 13% next year. The big hikes come after 2 years in which California officials had boasted the program helped insure hundreds of thousands of people in the state while keeping costs moderately in check. Two of the state's biggest insurers, Blue Shield and Anthem Inc., had the highest rate hikes. Blue Shield's premium jumped by an average of 19.5%. And Anthem's rates rose by more than 16%. So again, I've brought it up before, and I'm bringing it up again, guys. This Obamacare is a giant sham. This is one thing that we need to, you know, Trump said he's going to try and salvage this thing or change it or fix it. I don't know what they want to do with it, but this is one of those things I wanted to bring up. Another laughable claim. The White House now, get this, I love this. They claim that student debt is great for the economy.
I saw that article.
Oh, yeah. Student debt, student loans, we all know. I've talked to you guys about it before. They're overwhelming young people to the max. I've got multiple friends with them. Even small amount of student debt in the, you know, $15,000, $20,000, $25,000 range can be very, very difficult to overcome in a short period of time. Now, everybody pretty much that you talk to across the board doesn't like student debts. They don't like how easy they are to get. They don't like that you can't bankrupt them, except for the Council of Economic Advisors, which is a research group that works directly for the White House. The organization recently released a paper which argued these student debts, which are over the $1 trillion range now, are actually beneficial to the economy. And I quote, federal student loan programs help expand access to high-quality education, which has long-lasting benefits for individuals as well for the overall macroeconomy through higher labor productivity and faster GDP growth.
What a crock.
Well, my question is, where's the GDP growth?
No. The thing that bothers me with all that academic jargon, okay, I can talk like that. I can talk about how acetylcholine inhibits how caffeine inhibits the acetylcholine reabsorption in the synaptic cleft. I can do all that kind of stuff. And my guy says, what did you just say? And when I was a college professor for years, I told my kids, I said, hey, look, guys, here's the deal. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give you a bunch of academic jargon. I'm not going to write like that. I remember one time I had a friend of mine who went to law school, and I was in the MBA program, and I'll never forget this. He basically wrote me this letter, and it was stupid. It was one of those academic jargon letters. He was trying to impress me with his vocabulary skill set. I mailed it back, and I said, why are you acting like an idiot? I said, you know what? I can read your letter, but I said, you know, the vast majority of the population can't. I said, you know that? I said, but the problem is this is no communication. I said, if this is how you communicate with people, they don't understand what you're saying. I said, you're going to be a pitiful attorney. And he was. He's a pitiful attorney. And a few years after he got his law license, he ended up killing somebody in a car, you know, with a collision, driving drunk, ended up going to jail for 3 years. And that's a pretty bad attorney. Okay? So here's the deal, guys. When you start reading stuff like that, it's always written by academicians who have no experience in the real world, and all they do is want to write stuff to impress their boss because they were stuck into some committee they didn't want to be in, and so now the committee has to come out with this paper, this research, and they got to make it sound like they knew what they were doing. They use a bunch of real fancy. Austin, you know I'm right.
Oh,
I know I'm right. And that's what they do. And they nauseate me because it's just complete and total nonsense. They go, and you kind of go, whenever you have to ask yourself, what do you mean by this? You know, I remember one time I was reading, I actually read one of these silly things when you buy like a car and they give you this 40-page document you got to sign about 20 different places on it. And finally I started reading all of this and the guy goes, you really going to read that? And I'm like, well, yeah, might as well. I've never really, you know, been signing stuff like this. Let me go ahead and see what it says. I got about halfway through it and basically what it says, you can't sue them and you got to go to arbitration. They can do whatever they want to do with you and there's nothing you can do. And if you want to buy the car, it's a complete and total piece of junk. There's nothing you can do about it. And basically you're giving up all your rights because you bought this car from them. That's what it says. Now they don't say that. They give you like 40 pages of, all this jargon that you're trying to figure out. And finally, I looked at the guy and I said, well, what you're telling me, this is a one-sided deal and there's nothing I can do if the car's a piece of junk. Yeah, pretty much. You have to do through arbitration. You can't sue us. And I'm like, okay. I said, I want the car. Why don't you just say that? But they can't do it because once the attorneys get in and they start doing, I remember years ago, we had that easement problem on the property. And I remember one of the attorneys on the other person's side that was involved with all of this, all he was doing was stoking the fire. You remember that. Because the more fire you stoke and the hotter it gets, the longer a person's willing to pump all of their money into a lawsuit. This guy was a stoker. I mean, he was unbelievable. And I couldn't even believe that they didn't see it. But finally, after about several years, they finally realized, this guy's just milking the money for the doggone thing. This is stupid. And that's what they do. And not all attorneys are like this. I've got my old college roommate, John Parvin. Good friend of mine, great attorney. He's phenomenal. He's not like that. But the vast majority of them, probably over 80%, are. So unless if they're in slip and fall lawsuits type of thing, if they're estate planners and that kind of stuff, they're not like that. So just, you know, guys, realize that when you get involved with attorneys and you get involved with all this legal jargon, you're paying for it. It's by the hour. All right.
Yep.
Here's another article. This is interesting. This is by Michael Schneider. And it says, governments to Christians, don't you dare speak out against the sexual sin in society. In our upside down world, evil has become good and good has become evil, which is exactly what the word says is going to happen in the latter days. And this is exactly what the Sabbatane mindset was, to turn everything upside down that God created to be called good. He goes on to say, in our upside down world, you know, good has become good. Evil has become good and good has become evil. Once upon a time, everyone in society generally knew what was right and what was wrong, even if they didn't abide by the rules, but now the rules have been totally flipped on everybody's head. If you choose to live a lifestyle that is morally wrong, you are celebrated by society, and if you choose to speak out against the sexual sin that is exploding everywhere, including our children, you're considered to be a hater and a bigot. In fact, governments all over the world are now passing hate speech laws that make it a crime to speak out against sexual sin. With each passing year, it gets even worse, and those pushing the agenda forward are never going to be satisfied with those standing for biblical truth. Remember, this is all of that philosophy from Sabbatane Levy, the guy from the 1600s who started this mess. He wanted to make sure everything got turned upside down. He was one of the leading people who pushed this entire mess that was then picked up by Jacob Frank, who then brought it to the Rothschilds. But this whole thing, it didn't start with these guys. This is all part of the Druid philosophy that went through all the way back to the fallen angels. You got to track it all the way through, all the way through, all the way through times, you know, all the different cultures, and see this. This all started with the Tower of Babel and the fallen angels and all of these nutbags back then that were basically worshiping these fallen angels and having sex with them and producing Nephilim. And you need to go back in Genesis chapter 6. In fact, Chuck Milner, I believe his name is, Milner. It'll come to me in a second.
Chuck Missler?
Yes, thank you. He did a really good video on Genesis chapter 6. Look it up. That's a phenomenal video. And also, he looked at another excellent video on the holographic universe. Now, Chuck's gotten old now, bless his heart, and his wife died a few years ago. He's not doing real well physically, so we need to pray for him and make that he can continue to live a long life. But he has two of the best videos. The one on the Nephilim really woke me up, and the one on the electric universe and the holographic universe woke me up. And those are both available for free online on YouTube. So those are two really great videos to watch. What do you think about all this stuff? In fact, you know, let me pull one more article up here also, and I want to get off this topic. This is something they did actually correct. This was actually gender ideology harms children from the American College of Pediatrics. I pulled this up today, and it says that human sexuality is an objective biological binary trait. X and Y or X and X or it. There's nothing else, okay? You're either going to be a boy or you're going to be a girl. It says nobody is born with a gender, but everybody's born with a biological sex. And a person's belief that he or she is something that they're not is a sign of confused thinking. Then it goes on to say that puberty is not a disease, and puberty-blocking hormones can be dangerous. And it says, according to the DSM-5, as many as 98% of gender-confused boys and 88% of the girls eventually accept the fact that who they are, what they are. Children who use puberty blockers to impersonate the opposite sex will acquire cross-sex hormones in late adolescence, which can cause high blood pressure, blood clot, stroke, and cancer. Rates of suicide are 20 times higher among adults who use cross-sex hormones and undergo sex reassignment surgery. 20 times higher suicide rates. Conditioning of children into believing that lifetime of chemical and surgical impersonation of the opposite sex is normal and not helpful is child abuse.
Yep.
Now, that's what these guys are saying. So, guys, listen to me. This whole thing a few months ago that was going on with all of this gender stuff and the bathroom stuff, that was covered up Hillary's email mess. All of this stuff they dump on us is all obfuscation. Watch the shell game. Watch the Monica missiles. This is what these nutbags do. The difference is now, even when they start pulling false flags, we see them almost immediately awesome for what they are, and we immediately start calling out what they did, like this fake coup in Turkey. I mean, that false flag didn't even last a day, and everybody knew it was a false flag. Everybody on the planet is finally figuring out that we're being gamed. It's like a friend of mine a couple of years ago said to me, he played for the NFL, his name's Pastor Van Green, great guy, worked out here at the house with me for 8 years. He said to me, he goes, you know, the NFL, the games are fixed, all the major games. And I said, no, they're not. He goes, yeah, they are. He goes, I was in the NFL. He goes, I played for 3 years, which he did, NFL player. And he goes, what they did, they came to me after I retired, and they asked me if I wanted to start running numbers for them. And he said, they told me never let my friends bet on games because the point spreads and the wins and the losses are fixed in all the major games. And see, and this is why you see these games where these refs simply don't call stuff. I remember a couple of years ago when Florida State was playing Auburn for the national championship out in Pasadena. Austin and I were there. The last play of the game, we're running the ball down the field, and our guy gets horse collared right there in front of the referee, grabbed me by the back of the shirt, slammed me down, and on the other side of the field, a guy got face masked, and they didn't call either foul. Either foul was called. It was crazy. But Jameis Winston didn't know how the game was played at that point. He wanted to win the game. He won the national championship. I'll give him that. But the craziest thing about this is the following year he came back and his friends were betting on points being shaved on the game. I couldn't believe it. They're making money on it. So what happened? I have no idea. All I know is that it's not what you think it is. Everything that they tell you is a lie because these bookies in Vegas who fix these big games have billions and billions of dollars on the line. This is all mob control stuff. The same things that control the drugs. They have billions of dollars on this point spread or on this win. And they're not going to allow it for billions of dollars to bankrupt them or take a bunch of cash out of their pocket. It's too easy to pay off refs and it's too easy to pay off players. It's a giant fix. In fact, the NFL, what they say a couple of years ago, that It was just entertainment. It wasn't even a true sport or something like that. That was basically the comment they made. Austin, what's your next story?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, entertainment. And if you look at it like that, it's one thing, but don't get all wrapped up and obsessed with it, especially with all the NFL draft pick fantasy football nonsense that everybody gets involved in. That always just makes me laugh all the time. Next one I wanted to address was canola oil. You know, I've been eating more salads now, and, you know, I know it's a lot of these organic foods. You really got to read the label on some of this organic stuff because they're using canola oil in a lot of stuff from, yep. you know, chocolate chip cookies that are organic to salad dressings that are organic. And the thing about it is you understand that they have organic canola oil, but that doesn't mean canola oil is good for you.
Nope.
Canola oil is made from the rapeseed plant. It's rapeseed oil, which is toxic to all humans and animals. It's simply rapeseed oil is with less toxic acid content that meets FDA guidelines. That's what canola oil is. Now, the USDA is certified organic on some canola oil. That basically means there's no pesticides are added to the food, but it does not mean the food is not toxic or doesn't contain any toxins. Canola oil is usually the first ingredient in a lot of these dressings and one of the main ingredients that they use in a lot of crackers and cookies that are even organic. Manufacturers, they use hexane, a vapor component of gasoline, to process rapeseed oil because rapeseed oil by itself is very stinky, it's nasty, and you wouldn't want to eat it. So they bleach it, deodorize it, and then it's basically cooked at high heat to remove the awful odor, making the omega-3 fatty acid of processed canola oil, transforming it into a deodorized process into essentially a trans fatty acid. Canola oil is some toxic stuff, guys, and it's being put more and more into the organic foods because of organic canola oil that's getting certified, primarily because of the cost, because it's very, very cheap, and for some reason, I don't know why, individuals think it's okay to eat because if it's inorganic food, they think it's all right, but that's not the case. You definitely want to stay away from it. If it's got canola oil on it, you really, really, really want to stay away from it, especially if it's one of the top ingredients in the product that's used as the primary oil. Just cut it out of your diet. There's nothing positive about it. You can find tons of articles online to talk about the basic just toxic effects of canola oil on the human body. So I just wanted to bring that up today because I've been seeing it more and more in the organic food market.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Austin. Canola oil is rapeseed oil. Rapeseed oil for hundreds of years has been used as varnish and basically shellacs and lacquers. It's for painting purposes is what it is. It's super toxic. I mean, the rapeseed oil is a noxious, toxic plant. And they've changed it genetically to try to make it better, and they decided to they couldn't call it rapeseed oil because it's, they know it's poisonous. And so they grow it in Canada. There were sometimes you can't grow anything besides this in certain areas, and it's the yellow flowers all over the fields. So
yep.
They have a lot of that in Germany too. And over there, in Germany, they use it for biodiesel.
Yeah.
Here we eat it. And what's so funny about it is they sold it as a Canadian oil or canola oil, and they say it's healthy because it's higher in omega-3s. Guys, don't eat this nasty mess. It's one of the things, Austin, when I go to like a health food store, and like, it's like Whole Foods. I mean, I haven't been there now in months because of what they've been doing with Monsanto and GMOs. But when I used to go to Whole Foods, I would always go over to the bakery section because I might want a chocolate chip cookie or something that's organic. One of the first things I looked for was canola oil.
Yep.
And the second thing I look for is hydrogenated oils. And a lot of times I would find the canola oil in it, and I would just tell, I'd just tell Sharon, I'm not going to put this in my body. It's kind of like, you know, drinking WD-40. I mean, why do you want to do that? Okay? It's just not something that is healthy for you. Okay? So I tell folks not to do this. It's one of my things like sodium nitrite and aspartame and pork that if I see it on the label, I just don't know, say no thank you, period. I just don't do it. So yes, you're right. This is a good article. By the way, I want to mention this one more time. One of the Democratic National Committee official who worked on exposing the recent election fraud during the Democratic primaries, especially with what happened with Bernie Sanders, he was just murdered last week. I didn't mention that last week. His name was Seth Conrad Rich. He was a voter expansive data director at the DNC and began working on exposing the recent cases of election fraud and voter suppression during the recent primaries around the country. And it's sad. He was shot and found dead in his neighborhood last week. And I wanted to mention him, but he rests in peace. And, of course, the police they did the investigation, and they said that there was no indication that politics were involved in the killing. I don't even know how they can say stuff like that, because they're saying they haven't identified a suspect and say there is no, absolutely no indication that politics were involved in the killing. You got a guy who's finding out there's millions of votes being flipped from Bernie to Hillary, and all of a sudden he gets shot, and there's no indication that there's any politics involved. I don't know where these guys come up with these comments, Austin. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I know. Well, it's to cover everybody's butts, because they obviously they can't have an honest response to it, so they have to come up with this just total lie when they know, they know they're probably involved in it somehow. I mean, these guys know what happens. They know what happens when you run your mouth, and this is exactly what they do. And we've seen this numerous times with the Clinton family. I mean, as soon as something happens, people just disappear. And, you know, it's interesting.
I hate to laugh. And guys, forgive me. When I chuckle like that, it's not because I think it's funny. Somebody told me the other day, another friend of mine, the lady that I've known for several years, I sent her a text about something. I need to get some contact information from her. And she told me that I'd heard that she'd gotten married. Well, then I find out she wasn't married. And so I texted her. I said, well, what happened? I asked her how the marriage was going. And she said, well, I didn't get married. I found out the guy was married. I found out he was married. So she was engaged to a guy who was already married. And I just chuckled. I just put, you know, I wrote the text back and I went, you know, LOL, you know, whatever. What a nutty society we live in. And she got all offended, which later I thought about it. I thought, well, I probably didn't need to do that because it probably is pretty, you know, raw for her. But here's the deal. And I finally called her up and I said, look, here's the deal. I'm not laughing at you because of this. I'm laughing at you because of society. This is just, to me, the only way I can deal with some of this stuff. Because this is some pretty negative stuff that we have to talk about on an ongoing basis, and we have to be immersed in trying to figure out how the game is being played so we can tell you guys how it's rigged. And so the only way I can get through some of this stuff is I've got to laugh about it when I see a police officer say, oh, politics were never involved in this. First of all, he doesn't even know that. He doesn't know anything. But all we know is this guy's trying to find out how millions of votes were flipped, and all of a sudden he's dead. Okay, and may he rest in peace. But the sad part about it is it's not funny. It's the irony that I laugh at, the irony that continually envelops us, and these people think they can do whatever they want to do and that nobody's going to notice. Nothing to see here. Move on. The head guy just going to find millions of votes that are elected, how they're doing it. Move on. He's going to get shot in his neighborhood. Well, yeah, because if he goes forward and goes public with this, Austin, they can probably fix some of these election machines and the methodology that was used to create this skewed election for Hillary and to dump Bernie out. But it's exactly what you said. There's a body count behind Hillary Clinton. It's a body count, which actually bothered me last night when I was listening to all these people slam Hillary. They're hitting her for all her current stuff. They never brought up Vince Foster or the Rose Law Firm. They never brought up any of this stuff, her failed attempt, you know, trying to put together a health care program back in the 90s, all of the things she was involved in. They never brought up Ruby Ridge. They never brought up Waco. They never brought up anything. Her administration with Bill Clinton, because he said that she was like the co-person in the White House, they're the ones who did all this. And nobody wanted to talk about it at the RNC last night. And all of that stuff about Hillary and Bill should have been dragged back out. The Monica Lewinsky mess, all of it. Everything should have been mentioned last night, Austin. Every speaker could have had one of those topics brought into their speeches when they were doing it. Not one person needed to say all of it, but all of it needed to be mentioned. All of it needed to be mentioned. Just seated back in so the public realizes what type of person this witch, this coven head is, and she's running for the White House. This is who the Sabbateans want in. This is who the Rothschilds want in. This is who the international bankers want in. They want a person in who's going to do all of their bidding and have a sociopath, a psychopath. They want somebody in there who's willing to do anything for money and anything they're told to do, period. But let me change topics real quick. The other day we talked about vitamin B12, and a lot of you had a lot of questions about B12 because you can't get it on a vegetarian diet. Now, let me tell you how that happens. You know, most B-complex vitamins are the cofactors of cellular mitochondrial ATP production. I've told you guys that before. Now, what that means is this, that you can't produce energy from the mitochondria in the cell, which are the energy storehouse of the body, the mitochondria in the body are like your little nuclear reactor in your body. They use adenosine triphosphate. Now, what happens is these cells, they're basically being powered by the B vitamins, particularly B12 is a super important B vitamin. B12 is vital, and the deficiency is high regardless of diet, because as you get older, you can't absorb it as well. B12, the cobalamin, is the only B vitamin that doesn't have a plant source. It's created from bacterial activity in the gut. Now listen to this. While processing meats, dairy, and eggs, according to currently accepted dietary guidelines, deficiency can lead to anemia, hair loss, dementia, and other manifestations of neurological damage if not overcome. Deficiency symptoms may start with fatigue, weakness, or mild depression, but if not handled, may seriously impact Alzheimer's, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, fibromyalgia, diabetic retinopathy. B12 deficiency also allows homocysteine buildups. High homocysteine is considered a valid marker for impending cardiac arrest. A large-scale epidemiological study on the Kaiser Permanente Northern California adult patient population compared 26,000 members diagnosed with a B12 deficiency compared to medical histories of 184,000 members considered normal showed that heavy meat eaters were vitamin B12 deficient. That even heavy meat eaters were vitamin B12 deficient. So basically what they're saying is you really need to be supplementing your diet with vitamin B12 on a regular basis. Now that brings you to two things. There's methylcobalamin and there's cyanide cobalamin. Now the cyanide is basically the cheaper form of this, which doesn't work as well. The methylcobalamin is a lot better. It costs a little bit more money, but not much. And it's super important that you do this. And also, it's better to seek out B12 by itself and not get the folic acid version. A lot of B12s, they put folic acid in there instead of folate, which folate is the much better form. And they use that with the B vitamin B12. See, now, at Health Masters, and our B vitamins on our B12 or methylcobalamin, we don't put any folate in it. It's pure methylcobalamin. And it tastes great, by the way. And you just basically leave it dissolve, let it dissolve under your tongue. You can't get too much of this stuff. It's not going to hurt you. I take 3 or 4 a day. And I tell you what, guys, it really helps the mental acuity. It really helps the energy levels. And but you need to be taking it with the other methylated B vitamins that we have in the B active, because what it does, they all work together synergistically to keep that mitochondrial function going and to keeping that energy up. That's why Doug Hagman, he loves our B vitamins, because he says, man, I take those B vitamins, I have energy that I never thought existed within just a few hours when I take them. That's why they energize the mitochondrial portion of the cells, which are the energy storehouses, and they allow the body to use the adenosine triphosphate to create energy for the cells. And basically what happens when you die, you stop making ATP. That's how you die. That's what ends up happening. That's the final thing that happens to your system. You stop making ATP. So the only way you're going to make ATP, you have to have sufficient quantities of B vitamins. About 30% of the people can't even metabolize B vitamins properly any longer. That's why they have to have the methylated form, which is a shortcut through the liver, and so that it allows you to use it a lot more efficiently. Anything you want to say about that, Oz?
Well, yeah, it is very important because, you know, I've dealt with so many people. Remember, understand, guys, when the synthetic cyanide cobalamin version is introduced into the body, via, you know, orally or intramuscularly, which is very popular with the B12 shot. And by the way, if you know anything about the B12 intramuscularly, to my knowledge, there is no laboratory-tested B12 injectable versions that are actually methylcobalamin. They are all cyanide cobalamin.
That's correct.
And what happens is cyanide cobalamin takes 5 additional steps to actually process and turn in to a absorbable form of methyl B12, which the body can absorb almost immediately through the liver. So a lot of times when we've worked with people before that are just like, you know, my B12 levels are low, I've been on the injections, they're still not going up. We started them on the oral sublingual B12 that we carry on our website at healthmasters.com, and no less, within 2 to 3 weeks, their blood levels start going up immediately with their B12 levels, and they never have to take the shots anymore. The shots were an old school approach to get the B12 levels up, and like I said, now that more and more research has come out and people are realizing that the methylcobalamin is just hands down much, much, much more bioavailable and usable in the body, there's really no reason to use a cyanide cobalamin injectable B12. A, you got to pin it every week. B, it doesn't work very well, and it's pretty expensive too. All you have to go through, our B12, our sublingual B12, is like $34 a bottle for like 60 lozenges, which, I mean, that'll last you like 1 to 2 months depending on how much you use of it. So yeah, we get a lot of phone calls on that. It's turned into a very popular product because it works. You can actually tell a difference. And like Dad said too, when you stack it with the additional B complex and something like our ultimate multiple, you know, vitamin multiple complex. That's a really good basic stack. I tell people all the time, you stack those two together and then you throw in some omega-3 fatty acids, you pretty much have a really good base right there. And we have other stuff that you can add in that's great. But if you're just looking for a good basic plan, you know, the B vitamin, the ultimate multiple, and the omega-3 fats, that really right there is a great base to start off with.
Well, no, it is. And remember, when you eat a lot of foods high in methionine, like luncheon meats, that converts into homocysteine. And it elevates that cardiac marker. But B6, B12, and folate return that back to methionine as it goes out of the body. So, you know, you've got to have this to reduce the risks of heart disease and lower those inflammatory markers. That's why I take this stuff every day. I take my B vitamins every single day along with my B12 every single day. And I will also take additional B5, B6. And a lot of folks that have had problems with asthma, if they go on that B vitamin program along with taking flaxseed oil, along with taking the bioplasma mineral salts, and along with taking the cod liver oil, it's amazing how quickly you get rid of asthma problems too. I've seen that repeatedly over and over and over again. We had a young man come to see us a few years ago, and his wife had gotten pregnant and had a baby, and the baby was born with asthma. Well, that's an indication that she had a nutrient deficiency when she was carrying that baby because she wasn't on proper prenatals. And she was nursing the baby, and he came to me in tears. He goes, "I got to put this kid on a respirator every night. It's awful. I mean, it's like a newborn baby. It's like, you know, 2-3 months old." And I said, "Well, there's some things that you can do." And he said, "Well, how do you give it to the baby?" I said, "You don't. You give it to the mom. You bring her levels up, and the asthma will go away in the baby." He goes, "Well, the doctor didn't tell me that." I said, "Well, that's because you haven't talked to me." And so he did this. We gave his wife these supplements, and within a month, that baby was off the respirator, and the asthma was completely gone. In fact, I think it took like a week, to be honest with you guys. I don't remember. It's been so many years ago. I think it was like a week, and he gave the job started getting better. That's how quickly the body will respond to nutrients that it can absorb and utilize properly. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, this one right here, let me see. There's new groundbreaking review, again, showing how bad glyphosate is and how it alters DNA. New study entitled Glyphosate Pathways to Modern Disease, Amino Acid Analog of Glycine Protein, conducted by Anthony Samsel and Stephanie Seneff. According to the researchers, glyphosate acts as a glycine analog that incorporates into peptides during the process of protein synthesis. During the course of this process, glyphosate alters some proteins that rely on conserved glycine to fulfill their proper function. This glyphosate substitution for glycine, according to researchers, correlates to a number of diseases, including Alzheimer's, asthma, obesity, Parkinson's, diabetes, and ALS. And they went on to say in here, they concluded that glyphosate is not only harmful to human health on a number of different levels, but that this toxic herbicide must be removed completely from the food supply chain and from the environment as a whole, as the toxicity is not something our bodies can handle with. So then again, we have another study again, over and over and over again, showing glyphosate is incredibly toxic to the human body, yet even the European Union wouldn't get their heads together and ban this stuff, and they gave it another 18-month extension to be currently used. So, I mean, it's time now, guys, that everybody starts waking up about glyphosate. You know, we've been getting sprayed with it for the past 20, 25 years now. It's time to put a stop to it. There's no more question about, is it okay to eat? Is it okay to be in our bodies? Is it okay for it to be sprayed on our food? The answer is no. All those, it's no. There's no reason to use this stuff anymore. And the longer we use it, the longer long-term effects we're going to see with society as far as health and the generations below us. So, I mean, if you haven't figured out to stop supporting Monsanto companies using glyphosate and trying to switch over to cleaner food, it's time to wake up, guys, because it's not a game anymore, this stuff. It's really, really toxic on the body.
And I was talking to Lana today, your wife, Austin, in case people know who Lana is, the one who just had the baby. And I told her, I said, you know, we cover a lot of the same stuff. Sometimes I feel like we're being a little bit redundant. And she goes, well, Ted, no, you can't be, because remember, you're constantly getting new listeners in. And see, a new listener may not know that glyphosate is Roundup, and they don't understand that how poisonous it is, and they're still spraying it on their yards and their bushes and their plants and trees they want to kill. So, guys, if we appear to be redundant on some of the stuff that we talk about, it's not because we don't know we're being redundant, okay? We know we're being redundant. It's just that it's that big of an issue, and it's that poisonous to you that it's important as we continue to add more and more and more listeners that everybody gets on the same page as quickly as possible. So if we do get a little repetitive every once in a while, please forgive us. We're not trying to be that way because we already know how bad it is, and you guys that listen to us on a regular basis, you already know how bad it is, but it's for the new listeners that we do this. Oh, by the way, interesting. I've got a friend of mine who was trying to get a Mercedes SUV diesel It's the GLS model, I guess. And he couldn't get it because he said that Mercedes has their diesel engines on constraint until the fall. Well, I think we just figured out why. Price fixing and truck makers get record EU fine over $3 billion, and Mercedes is in the middle of it. This just happened this week, and it's the European Union's antitrust chief imposed a record fine on these multiple manufacturers, including Volvo and Mercedes. And what's interesting is these guys must be really broke, this EU, which we know that it is, and they're just finding places now just to throw billions of dollars in fines on these manufacturers. I mean, this is crazy. And, it's unbelievable. It says that these five companies account for about 9 in 10 of the medium and heavy trucks that are produced in Europe, the commission said. So the European Commission can impose fines up to 10% of the company's global worldwide sales for breaking. I'm going to repeat this. This is so important. Wow. The European Commission can impose fines of up to 10% of the company's global worldwide gross sales for breaking European Union competition laws. The companies have a right to appeal, seeking to overturn or lower the fines at the Court of the Justice of the European Union. Good luck with that in Luxembourg. So if you're doing 100 billion or sales and they can fine you up to $10 billion or whatever, I mean, unbelievable. Broke. These guys are doing this. And I mean, that's one of the reasons I believe they've got that thing on constraint with these diesels from Mercedes. They're getting all of these fines because the European Union is pretty much broke. And so I guess they figure they're going to these major manufacturers and just nailing them for these billions of dollars in fines. The only thing I can understand, because there's no reason to fine them that much, Austin. What do you think?
No, and you said gross income. Gross. We're not talking about their net profits at the end of the year. We're talking gross, which means they're paying way more than 10%. If that's what the fine is, 10% of their gross, they're paying in way more than 10% of what they're actually making on this stuff, which is insane to me that they can fine these guys to that level. And a lot of this stuff, like we saw with Volkswagen, it's incidental nonsense. It's not even that big of a deal. Give them $1 million fine. Tell them if they do it again, it's going to be a $50 million fine. Tell them if they do it again, it's going to be a $500 million fine. And go from there. But this stuff where, like, they make one little thing, or where their diesel engines with Volkswagen were, you know, bypassing emissions when they were warm, and it's not even like it comes out and it's some horrific thing. As soon as it comes out, they're like, okay, we're immediately fining you, you know, $10 billion. $10 billion? Like, where did that become reasonable?
We got our music playing, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Healthmasters.com. Go to the website. Sign up for free emails, free newsletters. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for getting your B vitamins from us and your multiple vitamins from us. Without you guys, we wouldn't be here. We love you. We appreciate you. Go ahead and close, Oz.
Yes, we appreciate everything, guys. You have a blessed night. We'll be on again tomorrow. If you got any questions or need anything, email us or call us up. Healthmasters.com. Thank you so much. You guys have a wonderful night.